Hey everyone, it's so good to see you all. So John sends out a preaching rota every once in a while, and so my name was on there, and I was like, so John, what should I be speaking about? Because with the topic, it was blank. So he was like, how about you speak about touch, because you've spoken about that like probably every 2 weeks for half a year in the huddle. I made sure there was 1 week in between where I didn't mention it, just, you know, to get some different thoughts on it. So I thought I'd share a bit of what I studied, but then also things that I didn't include in my dissertation because they want you to focus. So, you know, like I left out a lot of things that I would have liked to write about, but that I can speak about now, which is even better. So my actual topic or question, if you like, you don't have to remember this, but this is what it is. In what ways and to what extent do Church of Scotland guidelines influence the youth work practitioner's attitude towards physical touch? So that's the specific question I looked at, because you also have to make it broad to make sure it's academic enough. But basically, I wanted to figure out what influences the way that youth workers use touch. Because coming from Germany in a church where people hug all the time, maybe even overuse touch so it's meaningless again, I came not here but in Bridge of Allen to a culture where no one touched except for Christmas time, where they give you a kiss on the cheek, which just frightened me because I didn't expect it. So like people were leaning in, I thought they were going to hug, and then they kissed me on the cheek. I was like, oh, what's happening? But then, you know, so it was interesting seeing the difference. And then I did a missions trip earlier even to England, and they made me sign a contract saying I wouldn't pick up children or touch them or initiate anything. I don't know if they had to do that, but that was my first impression of physical touch in youth work practice. It's better not to touch just in case someone misinterprets the way you touch someone, which I thought was interesting. So I thought, why not look into it in my dissertation, because they give you enough time to do that. So in my dissertation, I found out from all the youth workers that actually all the youth workers think touch is important, except for two, but funnily enough, they followed that up with a story of how touch has impacted them. So in my interpretation, they find it important, but they couldn't really say that or notice that in themselves. Sometimes it's something subconscious, where we're like, touch is important, and I do it all the time, but I didn't really know I'm doing it. So one of their stories was like, do you think touch is important in general? Does that help relationships? And so the man was like, I think it doesn't make a difference. Oh, I remember that one time there was this Australian guy, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and it was just really nice. It was just an affirming touch. I was like, interesting. So touch is important. And even throughout the Bible, as I was preparing, there are so many stories where Jesus touched. But still, where does this apprehension come from? And for me, it came from unclear guidelines of you shouldn't be initiating touch in case it's misinterpreted, or children have the right to decide over their own body. And so it's better or safer for an organization to say that rather than have someone abuse a child. So in terms of an organization, I understand it, but in terms of a person, I'm like, yeah, but kids need physical contact in a good and positive way, and they need affirmation. So I was trying to figure out, that's a dilemma. Like, I understand as an organization, because there have been so many bad stories, also with the scouts, that ruins the reputation of a whole organization. They have to have those rules. But as a person, what do I do if I think it's still important, and how do I go about that? So I came to a passage. If you open Matthew 15, 3 to 9. Don't worry, if you think it's off topic, you might still be at the right passage. So the Pharisees speak to Jesus, and it's about unclean things. And they are trying to argue with Jesus, so he gives them an example. I'll read it out. from verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" So the Pharisees were trying to be smart and saying, like, honor your father and mother, that's a law. But it's more important to worship God. So if I give all my money to God, I can't honor them anymore because I'm honoring God. But that wasn't what God was meaning. God was meaning, look at the heart behind it. You know, look at what I'm meaning and not just make other rules to nullify what I'm saying. It's like he wanted them to care about their parents and not care more about their tradition or their stand in life. They wanted them to show that love to their parents. You know, and in the same way with touch, I felt like it's about the heart. You know, it's about where our heart is for God. And it's about figuring out what he is saying in every situation. It's not about general rules and guidelines, because I think sometimes we think if we have rules and guidelines, everything is okay if I keep them. But I feel like God has given us a lot of freedom and a lot of gray areas where he wants us to consult him to figure out what is the right way. What is the right thing to do? And I feel like with touch, that's what it's doing for me. It's like, what is the right thing to do? What does this person need just now? It's not about, is this right or wrong? Is this in the book? How do I do it? It's about figuring out, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying is this person needing? Is it needing a hug? Is that person needing a hug? Or are they needing a word of affirmation and being brave enough to say it or do it? You know? Too often, I'm like, oh, but am I breaking this rule if I do this or that? You know, it's like, it's about the heart behind it. These rules are there for the children and understanding that the rules are there for the children. So surely if I put the children at the heart, that's what it's meant to do. It's with our lives. Am I putting God at the heart of my life? Am I putting God at the center of my decisions? You know, it's not just about physical touch, but it's about every aspect of life. Am I consulting God in this? Sometimes life isn't as black and white as I wish it would be. You know, it's like, oh, you do this and that's fine. It's about seeking God because he made us to be in relationships, you know, in relationship with him, with others. So surely, if it's not black and white, it helps me communicate with God more, which is even greater because then I can show him to others more. And it's funny with touch in particular. For me, sometimes it's the touch that I don't even think made a difference. So doing what is right, sometimes you don't even notice this is from God. Like I was at a training and I was putting my hand on someone's shoulder just because, I don't know. I don't even know. See, that's the thing where you're like, you do something and you don't even know. And sometimes that's somehow God working through you, which is crazy. And so I sat down because she just sat there. She didn't change, didn't move. I was like, oh, that's awkward. Anyway, I sat down. And so like later that day, she came up to me and she was like, that touch gave me so much energy. That made such a big difference. And I was like, I didn't notice anything. You know, like, how did that happen? Which is crazy. And I read a book where a minister was shaking the hand of the people who were leaving. And so this one man started to tell a story, and he was just shaking his hand. I didn't even notice. And so the man leaves. Turns out that handshake transformed his whole life. And the minister wasn't even noticing. He was just, you know, doing whatever. He probably thinking as well at the end, oh, that's a bit awkward, but hey, you know. So it's weird how God, when we just fall it and do gut things that seem weird sometimes, you know, God uses them to change lives. If we look at the passages where Jesus touched people, I have a printout for you of the passages if you want to look at them later. He didn't just touch people and said their name, but he changed their lives. The incidences where he touched people, it changed their life completely. When the blind person can see, it changes their life completely. And not just thinking about touch in the physical sense, but I don't know how you've been touched by God in your life. When God touched my life for the first time, it changed completely. There's something about his love and his care that I just don't understand, that is so overwhelming at times and so indescribable that I can't but praise God for it. You know, it's so awesome to serve this God who wants me to come to him, who wants to use me, who wants me to be part of his great plan, even though I don't deserve it. Not at all. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1, 19 to 20, actually, 1:18 to 20, sorry. So it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. When you touch someone, or when you speak to someone, in the power of God, it's the same power that he used to raise Christ. Let me say that again. If you touch someone, or if you speak to someone about God, and his strength is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's how much God loves us, to give us the same power that he's given the Son. God wants to use us to touch other people's lives. This is how much he trusts us. He wants to use every single one of us to touch someone else's life. Because he loves us. So my question for you is, are you ready? Are you ready to use this love and share this love with other people around you? Are you ready to show other people that power that raised Christ from the dead, that lives in us today? Are you ready to touch someone else's life? Because God wants you to. He wants to involve you. Are you ready? Do you know, sometimes we're afraid. I'm afraid all the time. I'm afraid of failure. you know, I don't want to fail. I don't want to do things I'm not good at. Like, I don't want to even try things I'm not good at, because then I might find out I'm not good at them, you know? So, but Lindsay reminded me a while back. I think she started that thought, but I found that worse. So I decided I learned it. And perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears, he's not made perfect in love. But we love because God first loved us. Perfect love drives out fear. This is my challenge for this year, is not to be scared. And maybe it's yours as well, not to be scared. But to be ready and to go with wherever God calls you to go. To do whatever God calls you to do. You know, maybe to touch someone on the shoulder, maybe to say a random word that comes to your mind. I don't know. Sometimes this happens. And it's scary to say it out loud. But I decided I'm not going to be scared this year. And I'm going to fail. And I'm going to say it openly. And say, I'm not afraid of failure. Because God can work through my weakness. Because perfect love drives out fear. And I want God to do things, great things, in this area. We'll have a time of prayer, and then we'll finish off with a song. If you feel like you want to pray for something specific and want to pray with someone because you feel like God is calling you to do something, but you're afraid, like, you can come up here or pray with a person that you want to pray with. But I encourage you to ask that question. Are you ready to step out on the water? Like, Jesus caught Peter. That's a great touch. It's a saving touch, but it's a great touch. You know, are you ready? So let me pray, and then if you want to pray with someone, and maybe if we can have some background music appearing, that'd be great. I don't even see anyone out there. let me pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you that you want to use us. God, that you want to work through our weakness. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice that allows us to come to you, that you want us to draw close to you and to figure out what you want. God, and that you want us to use, that you want to use us to touch other people's lives. God, it's so incredible to me that you trust us enough, that you love us enough, that you care about us enough, that you want to use us. God, you are so amazing. And I pray that whatever each of our challenges is tonight, God, I pray that we would come before you and that we would share, because God, you've made us one body. And we are so much stronger together. It's such a lie that we are so much better by ourselves, Lord. We are so much stronger together. So thank you for that, God. And just bless the rest of the night and our journey with you. Amen.